All right. Well, just quickly, just fill you in on where I've been for the last couple of weeks, for those of you that care. I was in New... Some people are like, did he go away? It's like, well, thanks, honey. I appreciate it. I'd hope you care. But what you'll see is just give you a glimpse. I was over there doing a schools tour. It's very similar to what we did here this year with the world's number one youth communicator, and he speaks to 1.5 million kids face to face in schools around the world. And his name's Reggie Dabbs, and we'll be having him at Compass Church. He wants to come and preach at our church and do a whole bunch of stuff, which is he's a phenomenal speaker and a great friend. And so these are just some pictures that I took, just so you knew, talking to schools and assemblies ranging from anywhere from 30 to 50 kids up to having 3,000 to 4,000 kids in a gymnasium, and that's me preaching at the Gospel Church last Sunday. So, man, had to suit up. If you don't know what you're doing, you got to look like you know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? So, hopefully, I'll look like I know what it's doing, and just keep scrolling through because you don't want to be looking at that. So that was the church that I went into, second service in the Gospel Church. They have one church, two sites. Next one. Okay, these are highly attractive people, apart from me. The guy that's up to my right shoulder, your left, is the guy that looks after Tennessee Church of God youth conventions and things. So he's Warren E. Shelton. He's very southern, like Gitterdun kind of thing. And the other two guys are actually, three guys in there are from Melbourne, actually. They were a group of Australians over there helping out. So next one. Cool. The guy closest to me, Richard Baker, he's from Minnesota. He looks after the youth organisations in Minnesota. And Mike, in the back there, he is from Florida. He looks after all the schools, tours and things. So Preston, who was here earlier this year in May, he set up a youth organisation, which is now the model's being adopted in about 7 states in America. And they are speaking to, several hundred thousand young people. So in the week that we were there, and the next one. I think that should be it. All right, we can leave it on that one, please. Throughout the couple of weeks that we were in schools around New Jersey, probably several tens of thousands of students that we got to speak to, and I spoke at 6 different school assemblies and preached in 4 different church services and had a lot of fun, just very busy time serving and meeting some very cool people, of which one guy is a guy who runs an organisation based in Canada, in Alberta, an organisation, you can suss it out for yourself, and that is Extreme Dream, and they run youth conventions within Canada of about 15 to 20,000 young people come to their events and conferences. So they're significant size, but what they did in 2008, sent a team to Malawi. And in the 3 days that they ran their conferences in Malawi, which is where we as a church have bought our land in the capital city of Lilongwe, they had 8,000 first-time decisions in those 3 days. For the first time they'd run anything, they weren't sure whether they'd have anyone turn up, but they ended up like having a sports stadium that got fuller and fuller each day. And so they now have a team that goes over each year to Lilongwe, which is just amazing that I go to the States and he comes from Canada. We meet up and it just so happens that we want to do stuff in Malawi, the capital city, and it's just a God thing. So we're just looking to build on that relationship to see what unfolds next year, because they have a team that goes each year to just to keep things going and follow up on stuff. So really exciting, the relationships and stuff that came out of this last couple of weeks. But I did miss being here. I miss my girls more than any other trip that I've done. So it was really good to get home. Skype is great and FaceTime and all that stuff is great, but nothing like being at home. So again, thanks for your prayers and support. Just really, really appreciated it. So one of the things that I got invited over 2 days earlier than I normally go was actually Thanksgiving. An American Thanksgiving, which is like, I guess, the equivalent to food-wise our Christmas Day. It was just ridiculous, just way too much food and everything's deep fried and it's just very unhealthy and, no good. But, in essence, the day is about stopping and actually reflecting on, you know, the blessings and how blessed as a nation America is, you know, arguably from, you know, the 1500s or 1600s, depending on which historian you'd like to believe. But it was all about, you know, the pilgrims and early settlers stopping and being thankful for the things that they had, and that's continued on and now is an annual holiday. So I thought it would actually be a good lead-in to my message today, because I want to have a look at, you know, a review of 2011 and just sort of take a look back at where we've been this year and what we've done this year. And that is for you personally, but for us as a church. And so first thing I want to take a look at is like looking back. I mean, I know we're sort of, we should look back and count our blessings and see, as I said before, how God has protected and provided, etc. But I want you just to stop for a moment, and I want you just to think personally, what has happened this year for you? What has unfolded? Maybe you're still in the midst of something that it hasn't come to completion yet, but it's great that he who has begun a good work will bring it to completion. And just rest assured that if you find yourself in a storm, just as God has got you through storms in the past and you've come out the other side and you can go, wow, God was so faithful. If you're in the middle of a storm, you will come out of that storm and you will be able to look back and you will be able to say, God is faithful. He's trustworthy. Amen? We believe that. So I want you just to think, I don't know if you've got pen or paper, but I want you to actually just think about for a second and maybe just take a minute just to write down, or if you've got your iPhone or iPad, whatever, and or whatever phone you've got and notes, I want you to actually be specific. I want you to actually think, can you actually say you have grown or that this has happened in your life this year? I hope you're thinking right now, because writing, feel free to write any time. Is Michael Reck here? Could you just come here for a sec, mate? We actually haven't done this before, and why not? Let's maybe we're going to just have like open mic for a second, and we're going to have roving mic. No, you don't have to talk. If you can just take the microphone, if anyone does want to talk and actually say anything that good has happened this year or something that you kind of go, yeah, you've noticed this. It can be personal or it can be as a church. Don't be shy. I might just get a chair, I think. Start playing the drums.
I thought in the middle of the year when we put on the big event, the youth event where we had Preston out here, I thought that was pretty cool for, you know, a small church that actually has no youth to see over, I don't know how many do have, nearly 200 something or more, you know, youth rock up to an event with the little resources that we had, and God just continued to bless every part of that event, and that was really cool, and we saw so many you know, decisions and things like that, so that was a real blessing. So it was just great to be a part of it.
Cool. Anyone else? Just put your hand up so our roving mic can... Oh, I think that's great. It's maybe a reflection of my sense of humour. Just a dad joke. Just turning into a dad joke kind of guy.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jenny. Just wanted to say when there was some healing prayer done 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had a chest infection, and I had a cough that wouldn't go away and was just wearing me out and looked like it was going to flare up. And I think we had an invitation to receive prayer, and I just thought, yeah, I have faith for that. And I had prayer. But I had a very busy day, and later on that day, I had back-to-back appointments. Later on that day, I had a cough, and I thought, oh, for goodness sakes, I haven't thanked God yet. So I was going, thank you, Jesus, for my healing. By your stripes, I'm healed. And I just kept that up for a week, and the cough went. So praise the Lord for that. Thank you for praying. Thanks, everyone.
Great.
We're fortunate enough to stumble across you guys, which was pretty cool. So my wife and family and I have been in this area for, I don't know, 18 years or something, and been worshipping about half an hour away, and been very keen to sort of find somewhere close that sort of suited us and kids and everything. And we were driving past, and one day saw the little sign out the front and thought, actually, my wife thought, why don't we check it out? And I said, they could be pretty weird, I don't know. But anyway, as a good husband, I follow my wife's advice, and so we wandered through and met you guys. So we're looking forward to being a little bit more involved next year. And so we sort of cut ties from where we were going, and yeah, look forward to sharing our journey with you guys next year. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Think music. Come on, don't be shy.
Hello, everyone. My name is Theresa. I am an American, and I moved here a year ago. And God has really brought me a long way. 2 years ago, I lost my husband in my home. And God gave me this wonderful opportunity to come to Australia and begin a new life. It hasn't been easy, but He has been with me the whole way. And all I can say is His loving kindness is better than life. And if you're going through any storm, He will be there for you. I promise.
Wow. Great. We've heard some good stories, obviously, along the way, people getting jobs and things like that as well. Let's put our hands together for Roving Mike. Well done. So have you been able to write something down? Yeah, I think, you know, one of the challenges as a pastor, let's put it that way, is that you spend time, and life group leaders would experience this as well. You know, you spend time and you prayerfully consider what it is that you should preach about, and you do certain series such as, you know, Compelling, Not Comfortable, Are You Serious? I feel as though my self-esteem is pretty healthy at the moment, so maybe we change that. Let me ask a question. I don't know whether I should do it. Yeah, let's do it. It's about keeping it real. No, I don't want to do it because of me, not you. But if there is something out of either of those series, in all honesty, that you heard over the last probably, because it's been, those two series have probably taken up the last 3 to 4 months of our church primarily. Was there anything within those series that actually moved you to change something in your life? So if that's you, I don't know, want to know what it is, and don't put your hand up unless you mean it, but if there is something that you felt that, like, you kind of like God put His finger on something in your life, and I know this is pretty confronting, this is a bit confrontational in getting you to do this, but it's good feedback for me, but... maybe it's not. But yeah, if that's you, because I know you love me, so how you respond doesn't matter. It's not going to change the way I feel about you much. But if you, if that's you, that it's actually really moved you from a place of where you were, and you've actually changed something because of the series and how it kind of like was partnered with life groups and stuff out of that. So if that's you, just put your hand up if you think you've actually changed something in your life. Okay. Cool. Because I think in essence, I think, you know, we as a church, looking back, like you don't, we don't want to have a place where it's not encouraging, facilitating, being the catalyst for change. Is church the only place that can happen? No. I'm not saying that. You know, I think that's where church with involvement within a life group. Because my desire for you in your life is that you would be growing and maturing and developing. And as I've said before, faith that is not backed up by action is not faith at all. And it's not that we are justified by our works, but we are called to do good works based on the relationship we have with God. Faith without works is dead. So, you know, I guess my thinking in moving forward is that, you know, we're looking at different ways to facilitate and to help you grow and stretch, be stretched, and to move from where you are now, so that when we sit here this time next year, that you actually go, yeah, there are things in my life that I have changed as a result of my connection involvement with Compass Church. Does that make sense? So, I mean, that, a little bit confrontational, but I think, you know, when you sow your life into something, you want to actually see people, because you see people as they are, but you want to be able to see them as they can be, which is what and how God sees us, which is great. He doesn't see me the way just as I am, but he sees me as what I can become. And I love that. So as a church, it's thinking about, okay, well, what do we need to do and change and think about? And so I think about the effectiveness of the things like IBAFs and stuff like that. And again, without being confrontational, I think the majority of people that get invited to church come out of the core leadership structures of the church. So I know that people invite people and they don't always come. I have a lot of people that don't come to church that I invite. I know what it's like. But, you know, for us as a church, with our growth strategy being the network of relationships that we have, that we don't want to see a massive flood of people that attend other churches just come and make Compass Church home, although that transition happens with 30% of the population moving each year. You know, so our strategy for growth and development is you. You're it. So that's good and it's bad, because if you don't do it, we don't grow. Otherwise, you know, you go down sort of like, you know, the attractional model of church, or the marketable model of church. And I'm not against marketing, and we need to do a better job of that. But if you go that way, predominantly growth comes out of transfer growth, which is not what we've called to do. So looking back, this is all part of my looking back. I say that and I reflect back on this year and I think about, yeah, we're in a new facility that God opened up for us, and we've got, you know, we've been able to meet and been introduced to a great guy like Nick, and Nick just does a fantastic job. And put your hands together for Nick. And, you know, sort of like thinking about, you know, the office space, which was just a lot of hard work by so many people kind of getting that fitted out, and the impact that that's made on some of the retailers around and relationships with people. And there are people here this morning as a result of us actually having those offices on Centre Road. So, you know, there's just been so many good things, and new people that we've seen around, the life change, the life stories that we've heard, you know, having the need for alpha groups and those sort of things, and the reports out of life groups. And there are a lot of people I know that are too shy to ever come and stand in front of the church to tell their story. But it's so, so encouraging to hear, you know, what God is doing in people's lives within the life groups, and especially in the best life group in the church, which is just rocking, by the way. Going even better when I'm not there, apparently. So, but I get the text message to say that I'm dearly missed, tongue in cheek, of course. But you know, we've had a lot of good. Byron mentioned the schools tour that we did. You know, just great community care stuff, and there were, you know, food was dropped off just recently to the school for, you know, for the lunches things and the Christmas hampers and the food hampers and different things being done. You know, there is so many positive things that came out of this last year looking back that I just want to say, God, thank you so much. But I guess that sort of stuff that I touched on before that was maybe a bit awkward and a bit uncomfortable, you know, I make no apology for that, because I take my role and as pastor seriously. And so that, you know, if Compass isn't a place that, and I think this is unique about our church too, if Compass Church is not a place that you can't throw yourself into, that if you don't believe in the vision that God has given us as a church, and you can't, you know, you can't throw yourself into that, then we encourage you to find somewhere where you can, because life is too short not to live for something that you are passionate about, that you want to just believe in so much. And, you know, I miss church when it's not on. And I think about it, like, if I wasn't the pastor, would I want to come? And I can't answer that because I'm the pastor, but I would like to think that I would want to be here, because I just love the people. I love you guys. I love coming here. I believe in what we're doing, you know, sort of seeing, you know, the relationships and stuff has just been really, really cool. And what God is doing is great. But yeah, so I take that responsibility seriously, and I want you guys to be growing and maturing, because I'll stand before God for that. But you've also got to take responsibility for your own life and realize, you know what, I just want to give myself to something full-heartedly. So the next thing that I want to say, so we've looked back, I want us to take a look around. And I as we look around where we're at today with what lies before us and stuff, I think that one of the things, and some of our songs this morning reflected this, and that was that, you know, God is so faithful and he's trustworthy. God is so faithful and trustworthy. I mean, I want to read these scriptures this morning because I believe they're going to be an encouragement to some people in the room. I believe that some of you need to hear these scriptures. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations to those who love him and keep his commands. As a parent, I love that. That God is going to be faithful to my kids. If I'm obedient and committed to God, he will be faithful to my children and my children's children. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock, his works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. 2 Samuel, to the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. And I think the great thing about that is that it's not a massive amount of faithfulness towards God that he requires. It's just whatever you can muster. And if it's the smallest amount, he is still going to be reciprocate with an abundant amount of faithfulness back to us. I just love that because when I am weak, he is strong. And if I invite him into my weakness, that's when his strength is made perfect through that, which is just such an amazing God. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. Notice there, it's conditional in the sense of obedience is required. Obedience is required. We sometimes miss that point as Christians, that obedience is required. It's not convenience, it's obedience. Because for the majority of us in this room, church Sunday morning is not always convenient. And, you know, and stuff happens, like Michael's with Harry this morning because he was up vomiting all night. And so as a parent, no, it's just, you know, things happen, but it's not about convenience. It's about prioritising and seeking first the kingdom of God. Am I saying that church attendance equals a form of godliness? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying about in our order of priorities and an order of obedience, walking daily with Christ is the primary important thing. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He's faithful in all he does. Psalm 111 says, the works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Psalm 145 says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. Some of us in this room, we've got to hear this. The maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. I hope we're starting to get an understanding of just how wonderful our God is. He is faithful. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see you and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. Isaiah 55 says, give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he would also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. 2 Corinthians 1 says, but as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it's always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So we can hold on to the promises of God. He is faithful. They are yes and amen. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. And we can look at others. There are so many scriptures referring to God's faithfulness and that he is trustworthy. And as we're faced with stuff right now and opportunities that we can move forward based on God's faithfulness to us as a church of being 4 years old, we can say God has just shown us again and again. When we take a step of faith, God responds. And in your personal life, if you haven't taken a step of faith in 2011, can we, and we're going to be going to looking forward in just a sec, maybe in 2012 that you begin to actually think about what step of faith are you going to actually take in 2012? In what area are you going to step out and trust and believe God for something that at the moment you're kind of like thinking maybe this can't happen or that's not possible? What area is it going to be in 2012? But, so let's go straight into that. Look back, looking around, now looking forward. We've just gone over that God is faithful and trustworthy, right? You got that? Okay, good reminder. So let me flip it around. Let me put it this way, and this has been my prayer for much of this year, is that are we faithful and can we be trusted? Moving forward, going into 2012, are we faithful and can we be trusted? Because if God is faithful and he's trustworthy, I would love for us to be the kind of people and the kind of church that God goes, yeah, I can trust you with this. I can trust you with my presence. You're going to honour my presence. You're going to respect my presence. You're going to allow my presence the freedom to do whatever it is that he wants to do to bring life change and transformation in people's lives. Can I trust you with that? Can I trust you with an increase? Or saying another way, like, you know, let me ask you, this is not, kind of loaded, but let me ask you a question. Who here would love to see Compass Church grow? You would love to see that. You would love to see your brother, your sister come into a dynamic, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ and to see them grow in that and that relationship continue to evolve and develop, right? We'd all like to do that. Who is willing to actually step up in the area of responsibility and commitment to help that to happen and to maintain it once it comes? That's a different question, isn't it? Half the hands went up. I appreciate your honesty. But do you know what I'm saying, aren't you? It's like looking forward, God, yes, we want this, but with that comes a lot of responsibility. Because my heart very much is we don't have the right to pray for growth. We don't have the right to pray for new Christians and baby Christians to come into our midst if we're not actually aware and willing to commit to the responsibility of following through and caring for those people. Do you get what I'm saying? So we've either got to go, yep, we want Compass to grow, but with that will come an increased responsibility in my commitment to love and care for people. Does that mean an increased amount of time that you need to put into certain aspects of church? Maybe if you've got the time to do it. But I understand there are people in the room that your life does not allow you to put extra time in. But what it does mean is prioritizing your life so that you can actually just be there when you can and realizing that you being somewhere, whether it's in a life group or even at church, is not just about you. But it's actually you being at church and being here and around people can just be a matter of just talking to somebody and making them feel welcome can make all the difference. You know, one of the things I've talked to the host team about, which will stick with me for the rest of my life, is as a pastor in my previous church, I spoke to a guy who was pretty gruff, pretty big, sort of looked like he was a tradie and just pretty rough. And he was sitting there and I just went up to say g'day and he kind of looked me a bit weirdly and just didn't really want to talk. And I tried to talk, didn't really want to. Then the next week he was there again. I went up and spoke to him. All I said was hello. Just wanted to say, hey, mate, how you doing? You were here last week. He goes, oh, you remembered. And I went, yep. And just chatted and he started to open up a little bit. Fast track, long story short, that guy had his suicide plan mapped out for that day. And he said to me, and I know the kind of guy he is, he would have followed through on it. He said to God, if somebody doesn't come up to me and sincerely and genuinely actually just say hello and talk to me, that's it. And I'm just going, wow, just from saying hello to someone. And so, you know, for Nat and I, again, I'm the pastor, so I have to be here. But like, but we prioritise our week because church is a priority for us. We organise our schedule around life group on Thursday night because it's a priority for us. I organise my schedule during the week to exercise because it's a priority in my life. So I'll either start work earlier or I work later and I make up the time elsewhere or whatever, but I get my training and I work my diet around it. See, for me, church and life group are not like, well, got a busy week, can't do it. That's just the way it is. And I think that, you know, the Apostle Paul said, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And I'm not saying I'm the Apostle Paul by no stretch. I wouldn't want to be after everything he went through. But like what I am saying is, you know, and for the key leaders in our church, I believe that we are leaders that live the kind of godly sacrificial lives that God requires of us. And I'm not trying to blow my own trumpet, but I'm just saying I believe passionately in the call that God's got on Compass Church and for us as a community of believers. And I think it's like, you know, in 2012, we're going to start off 2012 and our theme will be, why not? Why not? Not from a liberal perspective of why the hell not just do whatever you want. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying why not? Why can't 2012 be the best year that you've ever had in your life yet? Why not? Tell me why not. You tell me the problems that you've got, you tell me the issues that you're faced with, and then let's take them and put them before our great God and then try to tell me that they are still too big, that will limit you having the best year that you could possibly have. Why not? Why can't 2012 be the best possible year that Compass Churches has ever had yet? Why can't it be? Let me put this out there. And we want to send this CD to all of our partners, people that have committed to Compass Church. What we're asking for, like, I don't keep a roll. I don't keep tabs on, you know, people, unless we notice that somebody's been away for a few weeks. We just want to make sure that they're okay. So from a pastoral care point of view, we follow people up, but it's not about keeping tabs on people's attendance and stuff. But can I throw this out there to you? For us to have a critical mass that can actually build a greater foundation for us to move into the next level and phase that God wants for us as a church, why don't you just go away and as a family, as an individual, whatever, seriously think about making your church involvement and commitment on a Sunday and your life group commitment a priority on your calendar for 2012. And as a parent, I want my kids, and there's that ad. You've seen that ad? What do your kids see when they look up to you? Is it a beer or is it a wine glass or whatever it is? What do they look? You know, when my kids look up to me, I want my kids to see that I put God first in all I do. And that's not convenient. And it's not easy. And there are a lot of other things I'd rather be doing sometimes. I'd rather be off going to a cafe and having breakfast with my kids on a Sunday morning sometimes. That's being honest. I'm human. I love being here, but there's times when it's like that. And it's like, no, I want to actually see my kids actually seeing me as a dad who's passionate about Jesus Christ, and that's not always convenient. And so looking forward to 2012, why don't you just take that away to prayerfully consider? I was talking with some guys this week about it just as I wrap this up, but we were thinking about old school kind of Pentecostal churches. I don't know what your background is, but for us, it was like church twice on a Sunday. It wasn't even an option. It was like you did not have a choice. It was like, man, old school. Like, you know, and if you didn't, you got kind of like a whack on the seat of righteousness. And it was like, it was just what was done. Now, we've learned from that. And like there are certain things that we won't become as a church. And yet I think it's kind of like society has swung. Let me be really honest. Society has swung completely the other way, where regular church attendance or commitment or involvement is once a month or twice a month. And you just go, well, yeah, I'm busy. It's like Michael works probably 80 to 90 hours a week, and he's still, and I work a lot of hours, none of your business how many, but I work a lot of hours, but I still make church a commitment. And, you know, I just want to just throw it out there. I mean, this might sound a bit heavy, and if you're visiting with us today, I don't normally preach like this. This is just like an opportunity to wrap up 2011 and looking forward to 2012 and just to go, hey guys, just take it away and pray about it. If you only come to church once a month or twice a month, we're still going to love you. We're still going to care for you. Not as much as the other people. No, I'm joking. Glad you can laugh. We're still going to love you. But like there is a sense about family and community. And like, you know, I think it's funny when people say to me, oh, you know, I just find it hard to build relationships. How often are you at church? Once a month? Okay. Do you go to a life group? No. But it's hard to connect with people. It's like, so you're saying that for the 5 minutes that you hang around after the service in the foyer, you're wanting to build these deep, meaningful relationships that are, you know, going to form some wonderful friendship in that 5 minutes. It's like, do you get what I'm saying? You know, like it's funny. Then all of a sudden, the church is like, you know, not meeting my needs as far as, you know, and it's not real relationship. Well, you know, what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And so, as far as family goes, connectedness, relationships go, you know, sort of like it's got to be that sense of commitment. So, it's kind of heavy. And not something that we would normally do, but I think that for us as a church to move from where we are to where God wants us to go next, where we're looking for a group of people a core group of people that just go, yeah, we believe in this. And in 2012, it's why not? Why not? Why can't 2012 be the best year that we've had yet? So there you go. The last thing, if you've got your Bibles, Philippians 3. Look back, look around you, look forward to the opportunities and the potential that lies around. But ultimately, this is what we have to do. Philippians 3:12 says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forget what's behind and strain toward what is ahead. I press on towards the upward call, the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The last thing that I want to leave you with today, look up. Look up. Keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. It's all about Him. We can be thankful for the past. We can look around and just see what God is doing in the here and now. We can look ahead in the natural, but we're called to walk by faith, not by sight. It's great to acknowledge the opportunity, but we need to just keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Because as Lester said, at some point, people will let you down, intentionally or unintentionally, me included. But primarily, we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. And I think if we all do that as a church, together as a community, we will head in the direction that He wants us to go. Does that make sense? So that's what we've got to do. Let's pray. Father, just thank You for this morning. Lord God, it's a little bit different. Lord God, for what You've called us to do, I pray that we would just have a peace in our hearts as individuals or as families, Lord God, that God, You're wanting to do something in the midst of our lives together, united, to make a significant difference. You want us to be light in this world. You want us to be salt to this earth. You want us to live a compelling life, not a comfortable life. You want us to be serious about our relationship with You, that You would move us out of our comfortability, Lord God, out of convenience, and walk us into obedience and courage, Lord God. I just pray for each one of us today, Lord God, that we could just keep our eyes firmly fixed on You. I just thank You for each person in this room and those that couldn't be here today, Lord God. I just pray especially those that are not well at the moment, Lord God, including Harry, Lord God. I just pray Your healing touch upon them. Pray You bless anyone else who may not be well. I just pray for Les right now with his health as well, Lord, that You would just touch him, touch his body, touch his heart. Lord God, may he just know Your presence, Lord God. May You bless him today. And anyone else that we're not aware of, but You know, Lord, touch them and strengthen them. Protect our students as they travel back home, Lord God, or wherever they may be going over this summer break. Keep them safe and well, we pray. May they have a refreshing time away. And Lord God, we just commit ourselves to You and to Your care in Jesus' name. Amen.